In the holy name of Jesus, amen. If you've been keeping score these last several weeks, you may have noticed a trend in the gospel lessons read from the lectionary. Jesus is speaking and teaching a lot. He's speaking and he's teaching through parables, and in doing so, he's revealing more and more of his character and his motive to his disciples and the surrounding crowds. A few weeks ago, Jesus showed himself as a rule breaker, healing a man with dropsy on the Sabbath. The week after that, we discovered how demanding Jesus can be. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Last week, we were introduced to Jesus, the shepherd, who chases down his lost sheep, no matter what the cost. And now, this week, Jesus is still speaking and teaching, but what in the world is he saying? The parable of the unjust steward, or the shrewd manager, is known by many as the hardest parable in the Gospels. Even the brightest theological minds preface their commentaries and sermons and speeches with something along the lines of, "I'm going to take a shot at this parable, but I have no idea what Jesus is really trying to get at." There are some who are so baffled at the strange language and the curious message that they dismiss that Jesus even said it. One of my seminary professors even admitted that when this text popped up in the lectionary the week that he was preaching, he'd avoid it completely and preach on the Old Testament lesson or the epistle lesson. So really, what in the world is going on? I think it would be helpful in our time together this morning to reread the parable, this time isolating it from the extra commentary attached at the end of the pericope, at the end of the reading. So here we go. Once upon a time, there was a certain landowner, a certain rich man, who rented out his farmland, lent out his money to local tenants. In order to keep tabs on the tenants and to collect their rent and the debt they owed, the landowner hired out a manager to do the grunt work. One day, a nameless informant tells the landowner, the rich man, that no good manager of his is wasting the owner's possessions. Just like that, the manager is fired and sent on his way. Reeling from the blindsiding unemployment that effectively renders him dead to society, the manager begins to devise a plan to make ends meet. After all, he's not strong enough to do manual labor, and he's too proud to beg for his keep, especially after being in such a high-profile position. Instead, he comes up with a way to get back at his former boss while attempting to resurrect himself in the eyes of those he used to look down upon, those who thought he was a complete crook. Well, before turning in his books, the former manager calls in the local tenants, the debtors, and begins slashing their debt by unbelievable amounts. Not only will his former boss not make as much money, but the tenants, well, they might actually appreciate the kindness of the manager. and invite him into community with them. In a dramatic, unheard-of turn of events, the landowner, the rich man, is impressed by his former manager's shrewdness or good judgment and commends him for the work that he's done. The manager is thus resurrected in the eyes of society. Here ends the text. Well, I'll admit, even after isolating the parable from the rest of the commentary in the reading, in the pericope, it still seems to be incredibly confusing. Is Jesus really commending the crookery of the manager? Well, my friends, I think he is commending the crookery of the manager for one rather stark reason. Jesus is the crook. Jesus is the crook. This may make some of you a little squirmish, a little uncomfortable. I'll admit it does seem rather odd. But when you start to zoom out from this parable and put it in the context of the whole Lucan narrative, Jesus does seem like a crook. He seems like a crook because he's breaking all the rules and all the norms. First and foremost, he doesn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but humbles himself to our lowly estate. That's not what God does. Rule broken. In the parables that immediately surround this parable, Jesus is breaking the rules right and left. He's healing on the Sabbath. He's touching the unclean. He's eating with sinners. He's welcoming the rowdy prodigal son home. He's chasing after that naive lost lamb. He flips the house upside down to find a single lost coin. And now this week, to top it all off, Jesus dies a crook's death, just like that manager when he's fired from his job. But then something miraculous happens. Jesus and the manager, they raise back to life. And in doing so, they raise back to life those who are dead, the ones trapped in sin, the ones crushed by immeasurable debt. That's you and me. The ones who need healing. The naive lost lambs. The lost coin. The ones who need their debt canceled. The only difference between Jesus and the manager, and the difference is very important. Instead of just slashing the debt as the manager did, Jesus eliminates it. The debt is gone. Jesus breaks the rules and norms and dies a crook's death for you. He's nailed to a rugged wooden cross and pierced in the side, from which flows blood and water. And that water is a beautiful image of the water that we were washed in the font. Jesus washes us. And in doing so, as the theologian Robert Capon says, he baits us criminals with his own criminality. He kills us. And that's exactly the point. It's the point we've learned from all of these parables and all of Jesus' rule breaking. Jesus came to raise the dead. Jesus came to heal the sick. Jesus came to search after the lost. The only qualification for the gift of the gospel is to be dead. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to be good. You don't have to be wise. You don't have to be anything. You just have to be dead. That's it. Like those debtors. We were once dead in our trespasses and sins, but we've been raised with that crook Jesus. So we took a shot at this parable, but we still don't have a crystal clear idea of what Jesus is saying. What I do know is that our God is a God of infinite mercy, friend of sinners, the great physician, the good shepherd, and yes, the shrewd manager, the unjust steward, who cancels our debts and resurrects us. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.